Now, we're going to talk about resolving disputes today. And I suppose some of you listening this afternoon have been in a position where you've been sitting in a courtroom on the other side of a dispute with maybe a business person, maybe somebody who once employed you if it's an employment dispute, or God forbid, you might even be sitting in a courtroom opposite somebody in your family if it's a row over a will, for example, or even divorce or separation proceedings. But we all know that the minute something goes into court, a dispute goes into court, it starts getting expensive. And of course, it can take an awful long time for disputes to be heard in court and for resolutions to be found. But is there another way? Well, increasingly more and more people in Ireland are turning towards mediation. And the benefits of mediation as the first port of call in dealing with dispute resolution, including separations or divorce, are very obvious. And to find out more about all of this, I'm delighted to welcome to the programme Dr. Roisin O'Shea, who is chair of the Irish Professional Mediation Organisation. Welcome, Roisin.
Thank you, Deirdre. Good to talk to you. And thank you so much for having me on to talk about this whole space of the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. The other way. Well, you might give us a kind of a broad definition, first of all, of what exactly mediation is, please.
Absolutely. So mediation is a formal dispute resolution process. So it's a professional service. And it's where, with the assistance of somebody who's an expert mediator, those who have a dispute are assisted to work out solutions to that dispute. Those solutions are usually set out in a written agreement, and that agreement can be legally binding if that's what the parties want. And that whole space is covered by a piece of law. So we have the Mediation Act 2017, and Ireland is right out there on its own. We've been incredibly progressive, bringing in a piece of legislation that specifically sets out what mediation is, what a mediator is, what's the outcome of mediation, and all the process around the conduct of the mediator and solicitor's role. It's all in the Act. And Ireland is the only country to come out with a statutory piece like this, specifically about mediation.
Well, it's good to know that we're leading the way in that regard. And could you give listeners, Roisin, a few, we'll say, relatable examples of how mediation could work in a dispute?
Sure. So look, generally speaking, people are not thinking, you said it really quite well at the start, people are not really thinking about, when we have a dispute, whether it's a workplace dispute with our employer or a separation or a contract dispute with someone, we tend to go to our solicitors first, which is fine, because that's where we go to find out what are our rights here. You know, what can we do? Most people, when something's coming at them like this, they want to know, how do they defend themselves, or how do they go after their rights? And that's a good first step, but the next step is the problem. So we have, for 250-odd years, gone to bat. We've gone to litigation. We've gone to the adversarial space as a norm, as a societal norm. I mean, I did exactly that myself when I was getting divorced many, many years ago. I went for judicial separation, and I didn't know there was any other way. So I ended up in a courtroom. So we know, and again, you said it at the start, we know that once you engage in that legal battle within that system, you are running your costs very fast. Not only is it a cost issue, and that is an issue, it's also you've lost control of your dispute. Because it's gone into the hands of legal professionals who are trained to be adversarial and trained to sort of go to bat for your position. But the court's ability to deal with the problem is quite limited. It's limited to the law, and it's limited to very binary outcomes, if you like. Whereas most disputes are not that black and white. Even where it's a contract dispute or business partners or workplace dispute. Why? Because we're human beings and conflict is human. And all conflict that I've come across over the last 16 years of professional practice has got that human element, that anger, that anxiety, that frustration, interpersonal clashing. It's human. So our courts are not designed to help with the human psychological impact and the emotional needs of the people who are caught in that dispute. So on a very simple level, say I have a dispute with a colleague in my workplace, and they go to mediation. And how does that work? So usually the employer pays for mediation. The mediator will then do individual intake sessions with each person to hear what's happened here, what's the lead up to this. And in that information that's gathered in would be facts. So role of the person, hours that they work their job, what kind of interactions the two people have within the workplace. And then you have the dynamics. So how have they come into dispute? Very often it's because there's a personality clash, but you need to hear about the personality clash and how is that working out. And then when you've done those intake sessions in a workplace dispute, you attend to put the two people together and you will help them hear each other and hear from the other person's perspective what's happened. Because one of the most interesting things about us as human beings is we live inside our own heads and we have an entirely subjective view of everything we witness and experience. And in the 16 years I'm meeting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, no two people have recounted the same incident in the same way.
That's not surprising, I suppose, Roisin. But before no. Before anyone agrees to enter into mediation, I presume everyone has to buy in. I mean, you mentioned in the case of a workplace there, the two parties, we'll say, who are fighting, for want of a better word, they both have to agree to abide by whatever it is the mediator comes up with, I presume.
Ah, no. So I'm really glad you put it like that, Deirdre, because that's a misconception. So great, we can tackle something that's... Because one of the things that I'm feeling quite frustrated about as somebody who heads up a national organisation is why am I and my fellow mediators not getting the message out more clearly? So you've given me a great opportunity here. So yes, there has to be buy-in to try mediation. So if there's a dispute between two employees, they both have to agree to try mediation. Generally speaking, within an employer's handbook, is that there's an expectation that employees will exhaust all avenues within that process, the grievance process, and mediation would be one of the steps. So while it is voluntary, skipping that step could come against an employee down the line. So there is a bit of pressure to come into mediation. When the parties come into mediation, and a mediator, there's a beautiful piece in the Mediation Act. I love law. You're going to hear this from me. I just love little pieces of law because I can see the creativity that can go with it. So Section 8.4 of the Mediation Act allows a mediator to also put forward suggestions to resolve the dispute if both parties want the mediator to come up with some ideas. Now,
okay.
You wouldn't start there because you want people to come up with their own solution first, but you can help them because we're experts in this space. We've seen a lot. We know a lot. But you try and help them tease out possibilities, and that goes into a draft agreement. And there is absolutely no pressure on either person to sign an agreement they don't want to sign up to or to come to an agreement they don't want to come to. No pressure.
Okay. So what's your success rate like, Roisin?
Well, my professional practice, we're over 90%. In the general space, the statistics we have from Canada, it's in the commercial space around 87%, but that's about 70% during mediation, and a lot of those don't get to conclusion in mediation, but they finish out within a week or so of mediation. So Cedar in the UK runs stats on how that works, but about 87%. And the family space worldwide, like say Canada, America, New Zealand, they'd be saying about 67%.
Okay, so the divorce ones and the separations, they're the hardest ones to mediate on, I'd imagine.
They're not.
Really?
Absolutely.
I'm learning a lot today, Roisin.
It's the area of work I love the most. Let me tell you how it works for a family, right? So, first of all, 75 to 80% of the person who initiates the steps at the end of a marriage is the wife. Or if it's a cohabitation, it's the woman. The women are taking the steps to go and find the space to formally end this relationship. They're actually choosing mediation. But they're also, if they're litigating, it's applications are mainly from women, but they're not ending the marriage. The relationship has ended over a period of time and just the communication has not been there. So what you can find is one person is blindsided. They say, well, I didn't see this coming. So when a person reaches out first to a mediator, the mediator has to reach out to the other person and say, you know, are you willing to try mediation? And explain the mediation process, and but not hear all the background details, because we don't want to hear anything until the agreement to mediate is signed, because once that's signed, it's a statutory lockdown of confidentiality and nobody can take anything out of mediation anywhere else. So it creates a brilliant private space. So let's say let's call him John. So John and Mary are going to, she's contacted, she wants to get a separation. They're apart 2 months. Let's say the marriage ended 2 months ago, or she says it ended 2 months ago. He says, I don't know what's happening here. We haven't had any opportunity to go to counselling. I don't understand why she says the marriage is over. It's not. They can start mediation to begin to understand what's going on here. So individual intake sessions first. Again, the mediator is gathering all the background information. Sometimes parties don't want to come in together into the same session or the same Zoom online. And a mediator can work with people separately. So you don't have to attend a session with the person that you're feeling very distressed by or angry with or fearful in their company. You don't have to come in together.
Okay.
So if it's a separation, the person who's not ready, the mediator will check, look, do you think you could start working in this process, because the process is moving you towards a legal separation? That person might say, really don't want to do that. We can recommend that the parties go get some counselling if they haven't tried counselling, because mediators are not therapists or counsellors. And we might say, well, look, go away and try a bit of counselling. And if from the counselling can also help you move apart, or you might find, can you reconcile? But mostly people are moving apart when they get to us. And then where there's children, if I hear there's children in the intake sessions, I immediately send them parenting questions and ask them to get into an interim parenting agreement within 2 weeks. And the reason I do that is because I do not want disputes over children while the parents are beginning a difficult process to talk about the end of their marriage. So I want children protected as much as possible, because the day-to-day logistics of children and picking up and collecting and getting to and from school and back in the lunch and getting the uniform, these are all moments of tension that can lead to stress and arguments between parents.
So that's the first thing you want to iron out.
Absolutely. It's my priority. It's just the way I particularly work. Not all mediators would work like that, but any of the mediators I've trained do. but yeah, we prioritize kids. So get a peace plan in place around the kids. Very often somebody will say, well, how long is this going to take? You know, how long will it take to get a separation? But the average time within mediation is about 4 months. And that's, contrast that against the court system. We know it takes an average of 2.5 years to go through the court system for contested separation.
God, as long as that?
Oh, yeah. I'm the only one who's done research on this. I did a PhD and I analysed 1,200 cases across the country. So 2.5 years is the average time. In Donegal, it takes up to 10 years.
Good Lord. That's extraordinary.
So what we say to people is, so someone will say, well, look, we're living in the same house. He's driving me absolutely crazy. Or he says, she's driving me nuts. And he might say, I don't know how we're going to manage the finances while we're going through this mediation thing. Because when you're in that raw, upset space, 4 months is the amount of time it takes to get through in mediation. But that might feel like a very long time.
Yeah.
And so what I say to people is, look, let's do an interim living agreement. So we help them do an interim parenting agreement and an interim living agreement. Both of those agreements just last for the duration of mediation. And the hope is then we help them get to a formal separation agreement and a separate formal parenting agreement. And once they sign their separation agreement, they are legally separated. It's done.
Okay. Are there mediators in every county in Ireland, Roisin?
Yes. So anybody listening can go to the IPMO, so T-H-E, the IPMO.ie, and you can go to the Find a Mediator, and you can find in your county, in the next county. The other really important change in the way mediation is offered is that post-COVID, my work is 95% online.
Okay.
And the work of mediators is like, we're running a project in Donegal, test running a community-based means-tested family mediation project. And the organisation offering the service said, our clients, our community won't use online. They're all gone online.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? It's just the way that COVID changed so many things.
It changed us as a society. It did, yep.
Roisin, there's just two very quick questions I want to ask you because we're out of time as it is. But first of all, the costs of mediation for anybody out there who is in that position, we'll say, and not just necessarily for a marriage breakdown, but for any kind of a dispute, and they want to go the mediation route. I presume it's a hell of a lot cheaper than going down the court route.
Yeah, look, we know that the legal fees for, say, the circuit court would start at around 20,000 per person and can go as high as 80,000 or 90,000 per person. That's the circuit court cost. My own costs were 55,000. If you go to mediation, you're going to get an hourly rate quoted from the mediator, and you're generally looking at sort of a few thousand. I don't want to say the exact numbers because I'm heading an organisation. We don't price fix. We don't say this is the cost. But ask the mediator up front, what's the hourly rate that they charge and what's the estimated cost? And I can tell that to every client who rings me, but each mediator should be able to say that up front. And an important thing to ask a mediator as well is, what experience have they got? Have they got professional indemnity insurance? Are they signed up to a professional code of practice? Because if you want to make a complaint about them, where are you complaining to?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a profession. You know, we need to... I'm driving... Myself and our board, we're driving the standard. We want the public to feel really confident when they pick a NIPMO mediator, they're getting somebody who operates to a standard.
Okay.
And there's an avenue to make a complaint if needs be.
Very good. Well, listen, I'm going to have to let you go because we're gone over time, Roisin, but it's...
Okay, fine.
No, not at all. It's such an interesting topic to discuss. And I think, you know, that there's a lot of people out there who don't know enough about mediation and know how it is an alternative for disputes. Listen, great to talk to you. I presume you have a website people can go to if they want to find out more about mediation.
Yep. www.theipmo.com.
The IPMO.ie. That's great. Roisin O'Shea, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. All the best.
I'll be back if you ever want me.
Absolutely. That is Roisin O'Shea there, Dr. Roisin O'Shea, Chair of the Irish Professional Mediation Organisation. Food for thought there for anybody who's involved in a dispute, whether it's at the early stages of it or whether you're already thinking about going to court. Something to think about. More and more people going down the mediation route, and it does sound like it's definitely faster and more than likely a hell of a lot cheaper.